Before we go weiter, I wanted just to finish the Nedib Yehuda. We discussed the Nedib Yehuda Shaila with the printer who had been paid, set up to print Gemaras with the pirish of the person paying. Reuven, we'll call him, gave money and they typeset the entire Gemara with the man's pirish, with Reuven's pirish on the bottom. And after he printed the Gemaras, the printer took apart the pirish, which he had no use for apparently, and took the Gemara chelik and printed up Gemaras, printed up Shasin. He timed that I'm a zenehen of his alechasim. So there are two halves to the Tshuvas Nedib Yehuda. The main chiddush of the Tshuvas Nedib Yehuda is the first part, which we discussed on Thursday, where the Nedib Yehuda assumes that l'chatchila it's also to do this. That certainly l'chatchila he should not have done it. That we pass in Zenehenev is Alechaser, even if it's Zenehenev is Alechaser, you're not allowed to go to Chatzilla and do something against the desire of the other person. He says, the Chatzilla, certainly you're not allowed to do it, and that was our discussion on Thursday, where I assumed that most of you agreed with me that it's a tremendous solution in Eid Yehuda, and that from the Pashtus of the Ramah, it sounded like the Ramah would be matir in such a case. But anyway, Nedib Yehuda said it's us. That was our discussion last week. If l'chatzilah you could be in the henna bez, in the henna bez alechasim. The second half of the Nedib Yehuda, he says, now it's already b'diavad. Do you have to pay or don't you have to pay? Now it's lachar ma'aseh. The person did it already. He already printed the Gemaras and sold the Gemaras. So the question is whether he owes any sort of money to the person who owned the typesetting, who had paid for the typesetting. He used his typesetting to print Gemaras. The other person wasn't chaser because he was going to take apart the typesetting anyway, but he was nehena. So the question is, b'di'eved by zeh nehena b'zeh lo chaser l'chari yipater. However, Tosfos Dibrei Masl Taima, Taisa said that when the Nehena was Megala Das, that he'd be willing to pay. When the person showed that he's willing to pay for this type of thing, then Megalgalim Olavas HaKol, then he has to pay. Even if he only showed he's happy to pay for one wall, we make him pay for a chelik of all four walls. So Taisa said, if you're Megala Das, you're willing to pay for something, for Ahanoah, then you have to pay. Here, the printer was Megala Das, he's willing to pay. I mean, he did pay. He hired people to make a Gemara out of whatever was left of the typesetting. He paid money for creating these new Gemaras. He just paid less because he used this person's typesetting of this person. Well, he paid money for it. He hired people to take these pages and print it and bind it and make Gemaras out of it. So the Nedib Yehuda says that it depends on this tesis, whether once you show your nichale with something, whether that is a reason to be mechayev you to pay for this typesetting of these Gemaras. And that the Nedib Yehuda says Omer Ani, he says Chiddush, that he holds in Svara, that even if you show your nicha for something, you only have to pay if it's a case similar to Tosfos, where the Nizik had some loss because of the Nehena. That is, Akkaramtali Akefi Yaseira. It's a case where the person building the fence had some sort of a small loss because of the other person. So if he had some sort of loss, and the person shows he's nichalei, then you have to pay. But Nedib Yehuda says, in a typical case of zeh nehena v'zeh lo chaser, even If the Nehenna would have paid for it, we know he would have been willing to pay for it. If Megala Das, he would pay. The Nebi Yehuda says that you're potter. But this chiddush of Tosfos, that if you're Megala Das, you're willing to pay for it, that you're chayiv, is only limited to those kind of cases like Nikif and Makif, but it's not a klal, it's not a rule. And therefore the Nebi Yehuda says that you can't be mechayiv him for using the typeset, because the other person lost nothing because he used the typeset. There's no atgarav to leikay for his tayin. So he says in that case, it's then is alechasi a potter, and his psaki is that your potter. He says unless, at the end he says unless by the new printer printing up more gemaras, it's going to make Reuven able to sell less. As Reuven printed gemaras, he wants to sell them. Part of the attraction of the gemara is that it's a new typeset. This one was a good typeset. So if the printers printing new ones causes him a loss, he's a chaser, so then he has to pay. Let's say it doesn't cause him a loss. Let's say he says, I'll hold on to my gemaras, I won't sell them till you sell all of yours. If it doesn't cause him a loss, he says, you're potter. Because he says, this klal of Tosfos, that if you megala das, you have to pay, is not an absolute rule. Limited to cases where there was a loss to the other person, to the, in this case, to the makir, and but mainly he passes as that your partner.
Chaser could be even a grum. The fact that I'm causing you loss to people aren't buying.
Could chaser be a grum? Chayre, yes, it's always a grum. Why? If I stay in your motel room, I'm going that no one else is going to want to rent this room. So I'm causing you that you can't rent the motel room. Yeah, I'm causing you that you can't sell the sar. It's a little more removed, but it's also good. Excuse me? If by in which case? I'm sorry. What? Where? In the case where it's a grama. Oh, you mean because of the taina that that the Rif would argue in the case of a grama, because the Rif disagrees with Tais. He holds it pay out to Mazik. And the Rif holds that you pay out to Mazik. But by Zenehen of Zeh Chaser, the Rif is Maskin that you have. Because you're eating the pears, right? We said that there's a difference by grama if there's an Achilas pears, or if there's a locking up the payers. So you're saying that this type of grammar might be different. Okay. Anyway, this is the end of the night of Yehuda.
So,
was he mafker the? It's a funny thing, because what normally happens to the typeset is that it gets taken apart and put away. So in a sense, he was mafker it. That's funny thing. He was masquerade.
He had a right to take it home with him?
He had no right to take it home because he didn't pay for the metal of the typeset.
He paid for the
printer or the right?
Yeah, not the printer.
No, he had no right to take it home because normally what's done after you printed the svarims, they took apart the letters and they had boxes in which they put each letter and they reused the letters.
Who owns that? Doesn't
the letters belong to the printer. But the schar, the amount it costs to put the letters into the order to shape a gemara, that belongs to the Reuven. The one who paid for it.
So what do you do with
so
it?
You can't do anything with it. That's why it's Zenehen v'zal echaser. And that's why the printer is potter. But l'chatzila to do it, that's his psakta. L'chatzila to do it is still asi. You can't go l'chatzila. That's an abu d'shita. So you can't go l'chatzila and have an off of someone's thing, even though he's a l'chaser. So what does that mean? If you go to someone's garbage and take out his something you put in the garbage can.
It's
not after. It's
not
after. What? Let's see, he says, I don't want people poking in my garbage. So. Someone wants to take it home. Somebody threw out something. Is it hefker in the garbage? So when the garbage is
when the garbage is at the curb and they're going to take it, then it's hefker already, maybe. If the garbage is on the still by your house.
Understand what?
Yeah, the Chinese people don't have shilas. A pialacha, though, it's not so pashut. Unless you have an umdana, the person's there.
Wouldn't the types that you have to
do? What?
Once he has his gemaras, he's at least miayish on the typesetting.
Why is the typesetting like the garbage? The typesetting is like the garbage. He left it to be taken apart.
The
shame stress is not because you're giving it to the guy in the shame trap. You're giving it to him. Once you give it to him, it's not yours anymore. But the but things you have in your garbage can, they're still yours, really. But the garbage can is yours until the garbage man take it away. If I put a sefer in Seamus, they can't reprint the sefer, but they can take the sefer from the Seamus. They could sell the one you threw out, they could sell. Yeah, but they can't reprint it. In this case, you make new gemaras. It's tackle a hard time. Maybe it says it's Aslach Hatzilah. That's why I told you last week. It's a hard time to understand. Why is it Aslach Hatzilah? If the other person has zero hefsid, why is it Aslach? It's like throwing the garbage and type set to you. But that's what I mentioned last week. Tyson, the tap, it could be limited to a case of something. The Haya Yachol, he could have been Marviach by renting it. But not something that you have no heart about. Then it's like the way to be a man. Chinami, the problem is the Ramos to say the other way. Okay.
My test is showing you this one also.
Tap tesis?
No, tesis.
Taimon? What do you mean there are two different Madiyamim? I'm still Rabban Alep pleading. Yeah, the Yisrael doesn't say in tesis. He's not claiming it's Pshat in tesis. The first part and last part is not. He said he is Lashon is Omer Ani. I hold that way up his Svara. Because attacking you, it's hard to understand why Megala Das you have to pay. Alright, let's learn the Gemara Vaita because we have to start moving on. This Enev Zal Chasa has many applications. Try to get the Kololim clear. Therefore, we have to try to remember the Machlaikis Rishayin, the issues which are Machlaikis and the issues which are. Which are machlokes, if you get them clear. Let's see the Gemara. Toshma, where are we up to? In the middle of the page, Avayis v'aliyah shal shnayim shenoflu, Omer bal aliyah l'bal abayis, livnois v'ene reitzari, bal aliyah by the bayis, yoshe b'ashitin l'yitzi yosef. So we discussed this case in a different context, that Avayis v'aliyah, the bal aliyah has a right to build a bayis. The Tanakhama holds that Yitziyasa with the Machayev Le Balabai is a scholar in life, that he doesn't get reimbursed for living there. Shema Minoz Enev is Alechasa Potter. Seems the Tanakhama there holds that Enev is Alechasa Potter. It's like the Marshani Yasim. The Bai, based on Laliyah Mishtadi. The bottom floor is Meshubba to the top floor. If you buy a house and you own the bottom floor, you're holding up the top floor. You can't decide to take apart the bottom floor and the top floor is going to fall down. Part of the agreement is a shiva to hold up the top floor. Since he meshubit him, so that's why Tanakama holds, you have to provide for him living room, a place to live. Tashmad, sefer of that Mishnah, Rabbi Yehuda holds if I care. Avzeh hador b'chatz chaver shlemi dait etzarach lahalas loyschar. He holds that you do have to pay. L'chayri he holds, Shrabi nozeh nehem zalei chasachayit. So at Yomar Shani Hossam, Mishum shachru risa de ashaisa. So this is the big chiddush of the Gemara, which you have to realize what the Gemara is saying by Shacharisa Dashaisa. The Gemara is ending up really Zenehen Evizalei Chaser could be Potter, as we'll have in a minute. Could be Repaskin, it's Potter. But this particular case of a person living in your house or in your Chaser, since he causes Shacharisa Dashaisa, which I think literally means people used to live places, they lit fires to cook, or they lit fires to live, to heat. So that caused the darkening of the walls. So that Shechurisa Dashaisa is a hefsid. And that hefsid, I assume that's what it means. Does it mean that if you live in a house for 10 years, eventually the walls get dark? Is that what it's referring to? If I live in a house for one day, the Shechurisa Dashaisa? I don't think so. I think it means that there's a real hefsid in this amount of time. No? Is that the way Hefsid works? What? It's a mat, it's a hefsid mu'it. But it has to be a hefsid. If somebody were to live, if someone were to come into this room tonight, sleep here, would he cause any hefsid to the room? I don't think so, right? Mine's not talking about this room. What? Well, he's not building fires. Nowadays, you just come and they go to sleep. Right? They don't build fires. So Gemara is referring, I assume, to a case where there's some sort of a loss in staying there. We can still argue about our houses, if this is a Shaisa, but for now we're learning the Gemara. Gemara says that when you live in a house, you cause a hefsid. The what? Because you're on the hand and the other person's chasa. So the Gemara is saying that your Ibaya is not the Ibaya. The Ibaya is the case that of his Chasa. That remains an Ibaya. But the case you asked about living in someone's chatz or a house, that causes Shechurisa Dashaisa, that causes a loss. Now the discussion here is the Machlokes Rishayim. What happens by Shechurisa Dashaisa? I live in your house. The normal rental for a house for a night, let's say, is $100. I live there for one night. I cause Shechurisa Dashaisa, that caused you a hefsid of 10 cents. How much did I cause you a hefsid? How much that costs? Every 1,000 days you live there, you have to pay someone $2,000 to paint the house. So that means it costs you the whole house $2 a day, the painting. So I cause you a $2 loss. I had a hanah of $100 because I lived in your house. Do I pay Shukarisa Dashaisa $2? Or do I pay the whole $100 that I'm nehena? So this is a machlekes rishayim. Taisvis, the taisvis on the top of Chafalaf Amid Aleph. Taisvis v'yavi lehu liyas midav avuit. Taisvis going on the case there, and taisvis holds that you pay the whole thing. V'shal mashen nehena afal pish leichisa kol kach kemucha kulish ma'itzer kedamina leil mishum shnuisa deshais. Taisus says you have to pay the whole hanah, the whole $100. And the Rosh says the same thing. Then the Mukhi Yosef brings from the Ramah. The Ramah says, no, you just pay the hefsid. All you pay is the hefsid.
Why is this different than the four gates around the thing, whether you pay for the just for thorns or whether you pay for a fancy wall? When the person finishes the fourth wall, why is this a separate clair?
It's a separate clair because over there, the person had a hefsid of half of the whole walls. The shayla is, do you pay his whole hefsid? Here the shayla is, the person didn't have a hefsid. Here it's less for Stavah to pay.
Would have paid the thorns.
Right. But the man, so he showed his nicha, he has to pay the hanah. Now, do we make him pay the whole thing? So there we make him pay the whole thing because the other person had the hefsid. Over there, the person who paid for the walls, he paid for good walls. He had a hefsid, he paid for good walls. So the question is, do you reimburse? Here's the different shot. Here, the owner of the house did not have a $100 hefsid. Correct? He only had a $2 hefsid. So since he only had a $2 hefsid, maybe I should only pay him $2. So the Ramah holds that you only pay $2. You only pay the hefsid. The Ritva says the whole thing. The Ritva holds.
The
Rif would seem to pay that you only pay $2 because the Rif Shita and the whole Sugya is there that you pay only the Hezek. So since the Rif holds you pay only the Hezek, so you pay just the $2. Taisis and the Rosh hold that you pay the whole $100. So here we have to understand Taisis. Why should I pay $100? If I live in your house, if I wouldn't cause you Shukarisa Deshaisa, I pay zero. So because I cause you a $2 hefsid, I have to pay the whole $100? Why should that be?
Now, Tali in this would be also to understand what happens if I live in your house. I live in your house for a day or for a week. And at the end, I paint the walls. I paint the walls so that there's no shofaris at the shaisa. I paint it exactly the way it was when I moved in, maybe even better. Do I have to pay? So what does the Sfara say? Well, if I paint the walls, what should be? Gut feeling is that should be off the hook. No, I'm only paying because it has to. What? So this is totally in what's really totally in how we understand Taisa Shita. What's shot in Taisa Shita that you pay the whole thing? Why should I pay the whole thing? If I was only magic you $2, why do I pay the whole $100? There's a very glatta svara. Listen carefully, you'll understand right away. What's Taisa Shita? We said here, Taisa Shita, the whole sugya, is you pay the hana. You pay a chayiv, when your nehenna creates a chayiv, you have to pay. Why is then nehenna v'zeh loy chasapata, like Taisa? We asked, we started the sugya. Zeh nehenna v'zeh loy chasapata, Taisa Shita is you pay al tana. You're paying because you're having benefit. So why, if the other person's not chasa, why should I be pater? So Pnei Yeshua said, the reason is because there's a din of Kaitan Amida Sadaim, which means I really should let you live in my house. Kaitan Amida Sadaim. I really should let you live there. So now that you live there, you can't force me to pay. Because really, I should have let you live there, so therefore I don't pay for Hada. In K. In a case of Zeh Nehenna and Zeh Chasa Ma'at, where I'm Nehenna and you're losing a little bit, Shekhuisa Dashaisa, do I have to let you live in my house? Am I Mechuyiv to let you live in my house if I lose a small amount? No. There's no Kaifat Amida Sadaim. Even though you'll gain $100 and I only lose $2, that's not Amida Sadaim. That's Zeh Nehenna and Zeh Chasa. Even though I'm Chasa or Shava Fruta, I don't have to let you live in my house. Memela, there's no svara that I have to let you stay in my house of Kaitan Amida Sadaim. And therefore, you have to pay what? The whole chayiv, the whole nehenna. Because really, you always have to pay me for nehenna. Taisa Shita is, Mishalem Ashe Nehennis. It's a chayiv, you have to pay me your entire hana. Only where it's Kaitan Amida Sadaim, you get off the hook. But if you cause me a hefsid, even of a small amount of money, a $2 hefsid, I don't have to let you live in the house. If I don't have to let you live there in the first place, you pay, not because you're a mazik. You pay because you're a nehenna. And nehenna is a chayiv. And Taisa's shita is that every nehenna is mishalei masha nehennis. Every time you're a nehenna, you have to pay the hanah, and it's not enough to pay for the hezik. You have to pay for the whole hanah. Memela, if you're going to live in my house and you're telling me you'll paint, I'm not going to help you, you're painting. You're not paying me for Hezek. Taisa Shita is that you're paying me for Hana. You're paying the Chayiv. You're paying the amount that I had Hana. If you're paying the Chayiv, you're paying the Hana. It's a different story. If you're paying the Chayiv, you're paying the Hana. So you have to pay the whole thing. So Memela, even though the Shukharais and the Shai says a minimal loss, since I don't have to let you live there, that's the reason that you pay the full hana. That's klar the svara of Taisus. What?
By painting, the return of what before, there's no loss. There's no loss.
But it doesn't matter if there's a loss, because you don't have to pay the loss. The question is, do I have to let you into my house in the first place? Afmida Sadaim, am I supposed to let you in? If I'm supposed to let you in, I can't bill you for mashing the hands. If I'm not obligated to let you in, so then you have to pay my shenanigans. You created a chayiv. You came into my house. I don't have to let you in my house. If you come into my house, I don't have to pay you, Masha. I don't have to let you in. If I don't have to let you into my house, then you pay the entire hanah. Just like every case of Mishalem Shenanigans, every time you have to pay the hanah, you pay everything that you had hanah. The same thing here, you pay whatever it is you had hanah. Because you're not paying off Masik. You're paying off Nehanah. But I don't, that's not the point. I'm not paying for Hezek. Like the Rif, I'm paying for Hezek. If you have a second Hezek, but like Tysus, you're paying because you're in the hand. Someone who has enough for me has to pay. There's only one exception. In the case of Kaifan Amidah Sadaim, you don't have to pay. Since this is not a case of Kaifan Amidah
Sadaim. Why not?
Because I don't have to let you in my house.
What if you lose?
But I don't have to let you in the first place. I don't have to let someone into my house to tell me I'll be massive, but I'll fix it. I don't have to let you in for that. I have to let you in because you fix it. I'm not mechuyif to let you into my house to cause me a hezek, even though you promised to fix it. So since I'm not mechuyif to let you in, then you have to pay the hanor. Because mashenahenis is a svarah dekechiyuv. The only exception is where I have to let you in the first place.
That's what turns it into like a
shulchan pasuk.
That's what removes the midas sadaim.
Once it removes the midas sadaim, okay. Well, the chaser is what makes it into. It's then have a chaser. Yeah, 100%. Then have a chaser, but you don't have to pay a chaser. Well, you have to pay the Nehenna. Then how does that cause? You have to pay the Nehenna.
So what happens in that case? I would say the Rebbe's side over the three verse conclusion, right? Depending on the choice, you can say, no, I don't want to pay the expense. I don't have to pay the Hanan. I just wanted to pay for the bush of horns. I don't want to have to pay for expenses. And you're only paying the minimum. You're not paying the amount of Hanan. Even though he's getting Hanan from a better wall.
See, that's not talking about Zenehemna. That's talking about Zelainehemna. Here we're talking about a Gavra David Lemeger. Here we're talking about a person that normally rents. So his Anor is the whole $100. That's no shayla. There he's saying, I'm not in the henna. I don't put up fancy walls. I put up bushes. But in our case, it's a Gavra David Lemeger. So it's the whole $100.
So,
yeah.
The point is that I had to pay the last 10 years.
You lived there, no, you lived there for 11 years. If it would seem, if the last year you had no right to stop him, because Kaifan Amidah Sadaim, so you wouldn't pay for that year. What? Because the painting is something you do afterwards. The question is this: let's say someone says, "I want to live in your house for a year. It's an Amzal Chaser, but I'll paint it at the end of the year." So the question is, do I have to let him in? So if you're going to say, I have to let him in, then you're right, then we'll be off the hook. My assumption is, I'm going to have to let someone in my house, cause me a hezek, and I'll fix it. That a person not mechuyev to do this, not midas sadaim. And therefore, if I don't have to let you in, then if I don't have to let you in, then you pay mashenahenis. If the halacha would be that I do have to let you in, then machinami, then the painting will help. My assumption is no one could come to me and say, I'll break your thing and fix it, and it's midas sadaim not to let me do that. But that I don't think it's so.
You'll never know for sure.
I don't think you have to let. So let's say someone tell you. You trust him 100%. He says, I'm going to come into your house, I'm going to break your window, I'm going to place the glass. I don't think you can force me. That's not me to sit down. I don't have to let you do it. I have to let you break my window and fix it. Even though you have a cheshbon. If I'm wrong, then Achinami will be potter. Basically, when it comes down to this, if my stopping him is midas sadaim, then he doesn't have to pay. If my stopping him is not midas sadaim, I'm allowed to stop him, then you don't have to pay. That's what it comes down to. Like to let Shitas Taisus. They pay the whole mashenahenis. In the Gedulei Shmuel Klaris, how much is mashenahenis? We mentioned last week that if to live in a house with the owner's permission is worth $100, to live in a house without the owner's permission is worth less. right? That's what Samaya said. That to live in a house with someone's permission has a certain value. To live without his permission is worth considerably less. We talked there about the case where we're going to have in Chaf Aleph, where Reuven pretends Shimon's house is his, and he rents out the house. And now Shimon says, "You lived in my house, I want money." So the tenant could say, living in someone's house without permission is worth less. In Agamara's case, someone went into someone else's house without permission. He lived there for a week. And he kushuk harisa dashaisa. So the Gemara says, like Taisus, Magagul Rabbi Sakal, you have to pay the whole thing. How much is the whole thing? Is the whole thing the $100 that it's worth? Or is the whole thing the value, Lamaisi, he lived there without the owner's permission, which is less? Does he pay the value of living in a house without the owner's permission, or living in a house with the owner's permission? Which is a very, the dollar amount is very big difference. Right, it's different. Which way should it be? They should pay the smaller amount. Chayri should pay the smaller amount. Somehow, I have to think about why. It somehow goes against the grain. I'm not sure why. I lived in your house for a week without your permission. And now you come, and because of Shrisa the Shais, I have to pay you. So it sounds like I'm adding insult to injury. I'm telling you, I have to pay you, but you know, since I lived there without your permission, therefore I pay you less. You'll tell me, what do you mean you live without permission? It's worse than if you lived there with my permission. I'm telling you, it goes against the grain, no? I'm telling you, you want me to pay for living there, but since I lived there without permission, it's not worth so much. So I have to pay less. It doesn't sound correct. Technically, as an accountant would say, you know, it seems to shtim, the number shtim, I shall only pay you my shemanis. But on the other hand, no, it seems a little...
talking about a guy who doesn't usually rent, so whatever,
it's
supposed to
pay. No, it's an inheritance,
so
he does usually rent.
The guy doesn't usually...
Zelechasa, right.
The other guy usually not a renter.
Therefore...
rent it out. If he would have permission, he wouldn't pay.
That's true. So therefore, you should pay the smaller amount.
That's not entirely
it's not really... All right. I'll tell you, this depends on the following case. In Sashimish Batsim and Reish Lama Dalit, the Shulchan Aruch talks about seemingly unrelated Shiloh. The Shulchan Aruch talks about someone who sold Shreifa meat and pretended it was kosher. Reish Lama Dalit. Someone who sold Shreifa food and he pretended it was kosher. And he sold it for the price of kosher food. So the customer finds out. So he goes back. If he still has it, there's no question. He can return it. What happens if the customer ate it already? Is he entitled to get his money back? He tells him, it was a mekatos. He says, yeah, it was a mekatos. Bring back the food. He can't bring it back. He ate it already. Is he entitled to get his money back if you already ate it? So Shulchan Aruch says the following psak halacha. I don't think there are two opinions in Shulchan Aruch. Shulchan Aruch says that it depends if the food was an issa d'oraisa or if the food was an issa d'rabbanan. If the food was an issa d'oraisa, then you have to reimburse him even though he ate it. You have to give him all his money back. If the food was an issa d'oraisa, he gets every penny back. Even though he can't return it to you, it's your fault. You pretend it was kosher, so he ate it. But if the food was an issa d'oraisa, he gets every penny back. I explained this once early in the year. Rav Shimon says that food that the Torah says is treif is not food. It's like you sold him cardboard and you pretended it's food. The Torah said it's not food, so it's not food. What? We'll have to worry about that next step, but 1 second. So if it's an issa d'oraisa, you get your money back. If it's an issa d'rabbanan, if what he sold was issa d'rabbanan, let's say it's b'shalakum, or it's yayin shalakum, and he sold you something that was that was a Nitzah Durabanan, which you're not allowed to have Nitzah Durabanan. So Shuknar says, if you didn't need it, still you can return it. No Shaila, it's a Mekatos. But if you already ate it, then you don't get your money back. If you already ate it, you're not entitled to your money back. But this is your abundance. Once you ate it, you're not entitled to get your money back. Why not? Why not? So the Nesivis is masber there, the Chiddush of the Nesivis. That if you're over a Rabbanon b'shaygeg, the person who ate it was over a Rabbanon b'shaygeg, ain't a tzara kapara. You know, there was no hesitant to him. Someone is over a deraisa b'shaygeg, we don't need a kapara. Rabbanon b'shaygeg ain't tzara kapara, and therefore you don't get your money back. Shaila is, someone sold me food that's awesome at Rabbanon. And now I tell him I want my money back. I think he says, if you can't return it to me, I don't have to give you your money back. However, food which is asa midrabanan is worth less than kosher food. Now, it may depend. There may be certain foods which have the same price. But let's say it's a type of meat which is asa midrabanan. Let's say that the salting wasn't done in a way that's good midrabanan. So it's meat which can't be sold as kosher meat because of an issur d'rabbanan. I bought it, and somebody bought it, and he ate it. So he says, give me my money back. He says, I don't have to give you money back. Shulchanar says, the d'rabbanan, I have to give you money back. So I tell him, listen, kosher meat, this type of meat, let's say, is $10 a pound. Treifa meat is $5 a pound. You sold me treifa meat. I'm talking treifa midrabanan. You sold me meat that's not kosher midrabanan. So you're right. I ate it already. I can't get my $10 back. But give me back my $5. Lamaisa, I bought a $5 item for $10. So at least give me back the extra $5. Give me back the extra money. Does that make sense? No? If you sell somebody something which is, forgetting about kosher, not kosher. Let's say you sell someone a product which comes in a generic brand and a regular brand. And someone takes generic and puts it in the regular container and he sells it. Mechaira, I should have a right to tell him, give me the extra money, the difference in price between the generic brand and the regular brand, give it back. It's pasha, I should get my money back, no? No? So the Nesivis writes, in Reish Lamed Aleph, that you don't get anything back. It's like Shufurisa da Shaisa. Once you're in the henna, you have to pay for your hana. So Magazal Moroves HaKoyel, you have to pay the full hana. And you had a full hana. You had food that you ate as fully kosher meat. You treated it as kosher meat. You didn't treat it as a Siddur HaBanan. So you benefited from this meat. Kilu, it was meat which is 100% kosher. So therefore, you pay the whole amount that the meat, the says you don't get reimbursed a penny. You don't get back the difference in price because the maisa, you were in the henna, the whole amount. And the shach also, the shach in Yeridaya, Kufiyotah, says the same sack. He doesn't mention why, he just says the same sack, you don't get your money back. What way? You hear the Ganav is the one that's timing. That's right. It's the opposite direction. No, the way it explains is when you pay Mashiach Hennis, once you have to pay Mashiach Hennis, you have to pay the entire Hana. Just like when someone lives in my house. Once he's in the Hennis, he has to pay the whole Hana. So here also, the person who ate the meat, even though he was an honest person, but he has a fee to pay Masha Nehendis. So he was Nehendis, Kilu was there, it was kosher meat. So he pays the whole thing. Mustafa? No, that makes sense.
Huh?
The
thing of Karina?
When I ate the food, I didn't know it was also in the Rabban, and I had as much of my knowledge as I did. No way. It's more going into the case where I came, and I thought I was renting the apartment from the original owner, and I rented it from somebody else. As far as until I found out about it, I was fine.
You're right, 100% right. It's very similar.
Okay,
but let me be Magdim before we get to this. That the Machne Ephraim in Hilchos Einoah Simchas Chavav, Machne Ephraim says he doesn't understand this. What kind of business? You pay the whole thing. Why should I pay the whole thing? I bought a $5 piece of meat. I paid $10. The person ate it already, and once he ate it, he can't get his money back. What do you mean? He stole the meat that wasn't kosher. He pretended it was kosher. It was really Yisra Drabanan. So why do I pay? Why do I have to pay the extra money? Of course I get my money back. He doesn't understand what's going on here. Well, why should I pay $10 for a $5 piece of meat? He's Metzmiya. He's Metzmiya on this whole side. The Chachayra, what it depends on is this question: when I'm nehenna from the meat, again, not me, somebody, when someone is eating this meat and he thinks it's fully kosher meat, so he's imagining that he's having hanah from kosher meat. In reality, he's not having hanah from kosher meat. In reality, he's having hanah from meat that's not kosher, which is only worth that hanah is worth much less. Does he pay mashenehenis according to the hanah that he imagined, or according to the hanah that he really had? That's what the shaila is. You pay mashenehenis based on what you really had hanah, or the hanah that was an imagined hanah? Huh? How do you pay hanah? The hanah. Well, here it's not a case of them has a fuss. Like you said, here the crook, the honest person is the one who's paying mashin ahenis, not the crooked person. So now the issue is not, there's no issue of Zen Hamzal Fasa here. It's the issue of how to estimate mashin ahenis. When a person pays mashin ahenis, how do you peg a dollar value to that? Do you go by market value, or you go by hanah value? Sorry, bro. Or what? He has the money. He sold it already. We're letting him keep the extra $10, the extra $5, because Bezin says he did a terrible thing. The question is whether he has to pay for it, whether he has to give money back for it. Now, L'chaira, the Gedulei Shmuel Safik in our Gemara, and the Gedulei Shmuel says this, is totally in this Mesivis Amach Nefraim. The Gedulei Shmuel declared, if I live in a house brought to our Sameach. The Sameach was talking in a case where a person lives in a house where Reuven rented out a house to the tenant. It pretended it's his house. It's really Shimon's house. When the tenant lived there, the entire time he lived there, he thought he's living there with the permission of the owner. In reality, he was living there without the permission of the owner, because he was fooled. Reuven pretended it's his house. He said, live it. Reality, he was there without permission of the owner. But in his mind, he was living there with the permission of the owner. So our Sameach said that he could kind of, I don't have to pay the value of living in a house where people live with permission of the owner. I only received a house where people live without permission of the owner. That was what the Arsameah said. I don't have to pay for a house where I live with permission, because really it was without permission. You see, from the Arsameah,
that even though in his mind he thought he was living in a house with permission, but since the reality is that he's living in a house without permission of the owner, you only pay what the reality of it is. So it seems that our Sameach stims with the Machne Freit, that you pay based on the Hanah that you really had, not on the imagined Hanah that you imagine you have. Not like the Shas and the Nesivis. Why do you have less Hanah if it's not kosher? Why does a person have less Hanah if the meat's not kosher? Because it costs less. Even though the physical item is a steak. The steak is a steak.
It's
$5, that's $10. So what? Is it the discomfort at the end, or is it just the market value? See, if it's the discomfort at the end, the Sivis tells you that if you ever said Rabbanu B'Shaygeg, you don't need a kapara, no reason for discomfort. That would help. At the time I was eating the steak, it was the same amount. Yeah, if it's the dollar value, then the Machne Freit sounds right. It's funny. It's true. The whole part of Mashenahen is dollar value. And if I take generic Tylenols and I put them in Tylenol containers and I sell them, assuming generic is just as good as the regular, am I a ganav? Let's say it's just as good. But the mice, it's all psychad anyway. It's, people pay. Huh? I take Libra's ketchup and I put it in Heinz ketchup bottle. I think the camps don't do it. So they have to reimburse the rent for the amount of value, huh? Assuming there's no difference, then there's noticeable difference. Huh? It goes by perceived that now, by real I know. As it were. It's a mekatos, so the person can give it back. Now, why is he zichah to give it back? He ate it already. Huh? Full hanah depends on perception. That's a problem. Full hanah depends on perception. This whole, then you always pay the whole hanah. What? Should get back some money. It's worth less, so I don't know. That seems to be here. Right, the Machne Freit, it's funny because it's a Shach and a Nesivis on one hand, and Machne Freit and probably the Arsameach on the other hand. It's like it's a twisted thing. If the Shach and Nesivis, the rule of Chesh and Mishpat, if Shach and Nesivis agree on something, we always pass them like that. The rule generally is you pass them like the Shach. What? Totally just Machlaikis? Because here we're not talking about Hezek. We're talking about Nehedis. If there's a ton of hazard, of course you pay the smaller amount. The question is if you pay on the side. Assuming I pay outside. A regular mashalahed is not a shiloh of magic. You see, Ruvay sold Shimon food, it wasn't kosher, Shimon ate it. He doesn't pay because he's a magic. He pays because he's in the hen. So it's estimating mashalahed is the question. The question that the Machne Freit is tying is it should go by dollar value. It shouldn't go by more than dollar value. If the whole world goes with dollar value, so then the trade for meat should also go with dollar value. So I don't know. I think we understand the Machne Freit better. You understand to pay the whole thing?
The whole thing, the back of something that's worth less than I mean, I don't create the fact that I have the whole thing.
want to be a purist, the way she shuts up is how much would a person pay to have meat which is asa midrabanan and be fooled that it's really kashim and atarim and eidim. That's really the way we spoke, that you should chat things up, no? How much would a person pay for this type of animal?
That's what getting more into some actually, but it's limited precise, and it's only following the fact that I had a hana. I don't care that
you care about what I gained dollar wise. So I gained dollar wise a kosher meal. But it has to be pegged to dollars, that we always say. It has to be pegged to money. So you're saying that the svar of the shach and the sivus is. Not exactly what you're saying, but the way I understand what you're saying is Lamaisa, I was prepared to serve a supper of meat. I was going to serve supper, and the supper I served would cost me this amount of money. And Lamaisa, when I served this, I was Yaitza, a supper that cost him $10. So Mamela, I was Nehenis $10. Because I served a supper that's worth $10, just a bit of behemoth. This is why I serve a behemoth. See, this is why I serve my. I serve my family. I serve them meat. So I'm serving them this meat. So if I'm giving a meat supper, that means I'm paying $10 a portion. So this is meat, which is also midrabanan. But my nehenis is the dollar value of what I gave. And the dollar value that I sort of saved was that amount. Maybe that's the way the Shach and the Sivus understand it. Although, according to that, it would be the same thing by generic value. It's generic value. If I put a generic in a good container and I sell it, and assuming there's really no difference, so the person can't get his money back.
He's going to have to sell it.
What? He's tithing you in the hand of this amount.
Why isn't the market back? I could have switched shipments to buy this $1,000. That's it.
But whatever the din will be by you, it'll be the din by someone else. It's not going to help you. You're saying you should pay out chaser. Yeah, but I don't think out magic you could be mechayiv him if the other person fooled him. If you bring a hezek on yourself, you can't fool. You can't. Yeah, but that's a case where the person's a mazik. In the case of selling the tray for meat, the person who ate the meat was not a mazik. The other person brought the hezek on himself. He fooled him and he gave it to him. So he brought the hezek on himself. Okay, so this is the fourth machlaikis rishayim on this page. So we have again the machlaikis, the taptais, this is the beginning of the taptais, whether you could do a lechatchilas and then it was alechasa, where the Rav Yah argued. Then we had the machlaikis at the end of the taisvis. If you're Nehenna Mas Machmas Fasaran HaKedemes, which is up on the board, Nehenna Machmas Fasaran HaKedemes, third Machlaikus is Taisus Diba Mas Lataima, and this is Shurizid Ashrai. So these are the four Machlaikus in here, and that's pretty much for this Amid. We'll still have an important Machlaikus. Let's learn the next piece of Gemara. Oh, we can't. In the next piece of Gemara, I'm not going to get into Hilfus Me'ila or Hilfus Hegdish. That will leave in Yisra Shem when we learn Mesechus Me'ila. But what we will get into is the Shitas HaTor. There's one more Shaila by Zenehen of Ezelei Chaser. And that is, in a case of Zenehen of Ezelei Chaser, where I tell you, you want to live in my house, we said it's a chaser. Let's say you tell me you want to camp out in my backyard. Zero chaser. If you put a sleeping bag in my backyard, zero chaser. Unless you're on the handle, let's say somehow, usually you pay for this. But so then as a chaser, it's potter. That's what we pass, it's potter. Does it change anything if I tell you before you start, I'm warning you, if you live here, I'm going to bill you? Does that change anything? In Svara, it shouldn't change anything. I think we'll all agree. If the Pashas are Svara, it shouldn't change a thing. Yet, the Torah says it does. And the Torah is based on the bottom line of Chaf Amid Beis to the top line of Chaf Amid Aleph. Hegdish Shloi Midas, Kehegdish Midas Dami. I believe it's the first Nachlas Davar of Chaf Aleph. He brings the Torah and he's Mazber. So this is going to be our job for tomorrow, the Shita Sator and this piece of the law.